You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Nearly 10 years after he played his final game, the Giants will enshrine our guest in their Wall of Fame. He will become the 49th Giant to be so honored. Anyone who played 9 seasons with the Giants or 5 seasons with at least one All-Star selection as a Giant is eligible. But when you're the single-season and all-time home run leader, it's pretty easy. On Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, we welcome Barry Bonds. So great to have you on the show, Barry. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, buddy. How you doing?
It's not like you're suffering from overexposures. I just want to know, why did you agree to do this interview?
I was just asked to.
Good. How old are those little kids that came out on the field to hug you when you hit a milestone? How old are your kids now?
My son is 27, my daughter's 26, and my other daughter's 18.
That's great. And what are they doing with themselves?
My son works, and my one daughter, oldest daughter, is getting her master's in business, and my other daughter's going to college.
That's terrific. Your placement on the Wall of Fame is part of a deal you reached this spring to rejoin the ball club as a special advisor to Larry Bear, the CEO, and you're representing the Giants at community events and helping instruct minor leaguers. How busy are you in this new job?
I'm only busy based on what they want. Whatever the organization asks me to do, that's what I do. If it's to go down to see the guys at San Jose, if it's to go to Sacramento and see the guys there, if it's with any coaching staff or any of the players that are on the major league roster, whatever they ask me to do, I'm there. And I go to the ballpark pretty much all the time and sit with Willie and McCovey, and we all chat and have a good time.
It must be really something for the minor leaguers when you show up, Barry.
Yeah, it's fun. Once you break the ice, it's fun. When you break the ice, because they're a little intimidated to say something, but you'll get one of the guys out there who's the superstar, and then he'll come over and he'll break the ice and say, oh, I can hit more home runs than you or something. And,
and you double over in laughter when you hear that, right?
Yeah, I start, going to get surgery and going to go see therapists and stuff so I don't have to embarrass them, but it's all good.
What does this honor going into the Wall of Fame at the ballpark mean to you?
Well, I mean, it means a lot. Growing up in the Bay Area, graduating from Sarah High School and being on this, being in your high school's Hall of Fame, and then having the opportunity to come back to the city you grew up in and play and perform, and then also being honored on that wall. It's pretty magical, when you get to do something in the city that you're raised, and you get all these accomplishments at the same time. You're being rewarded for it, and it's nice.
The Giants are expected to retire your number 25, but my understanding is it's not going to be this year.
I don't have any comments on it because we haven't talked about it, so we will talk about that when it's time to.
Do you miss picking up the thousands of balls as the hitting coach last season in Miami? I guess what I'm asking you is, how's your back?
I enjoyed being in Miami. I enjoyed those guys there. I had a really, really good time. It's a bummer it didn't last longer, but it's okay. I'm back at home where I need to be and where I should be. But, I really learned a lot doing that. It's like I said, I was a rookie at it at the time and just really trying to get a grasp on everything, because it's tough when you're who I am, and it's hard to communicate with the guys in a way without trying to intimidate them at the same time, or them being intimidated, as I should put it, and thinking that, this works for you, Barry, but it doesn't work for me, and what do you think? And I'm only trying to give you baseball 101 questions to answers, and not trying to change you, just trying to get the best out of you. And, it's like I said, it's another thing. You got to break that ice, and everyone gets to talk crud to each other and have fun. And then, that's why Fernandez and I, we really got along really good from the very beginning, because he kind of broke that ice and grabbed me around the neck and said, you know, you suck and I'll strike you out. And that broke the ice. And, you know, things just went on there. But, I mean, I have a great relationship with all the players there, a wonderful relationship. You know, I talk to them all the time. I check in on them to see how they're doing. I watch them still today. And, it was a great experience. And, you know, having that opportunity and Jeffrey Loria, you know, having me come out there and do that was really good. It was good for me.
Ed Randall's talking baseball with Barry Bonds. What did you just said you learned a lot. Like what kinds of things?
You know, when I was playing baseball, there was, you know, I wasn't talking to anybody. I don't communicate because we're all on different teams and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to give you an answer to anything that I'm doing. And then you can try to figure it out. And, you know, now I'm an open book to it. It's like, you know, all the information I have, it's, you know, here you go. Let's try to make it work. And, you know, I know that it's a long process in trying to get that done. I mean, a lot of guys want to, you know, they want this instantaneously overnight, you know, answer to hitting. And it just doesn't work that way. Like I try to explain to him, it took me 22 years to figure it out, you know, and you can't figure it out overnight. But if we talk a lot and we communicate a lot and we talk about a whole bunch of stuff, just like I did with my father, we're going to throw a lot of crap at a wall. And eventually something's going to stick. And if we don't keep throwing a lot of crap at this wall, we're not going to be able to make progress. And so there's going to be a lot of things that we talk about. I talk about you're never even going to come close to understanding in this, you know, 6 months, but, you know, it could be 6 months in one day, it could be, you know, 3 months in 2 days, and something's going to click. And, you know, that's the process of who I am and what I've been able to accomplish and the things that my dad and my godfather taught me. There's a whole lot of crud my dad told me. I thought he was loco. And it took me time and being with him on every day to understand that he knew what the hell he was talking about. And that was the same thing. That's the same thing in the process of, you know, being a complete baseball player. You know, you get these guys that say, you know, I want to be, you know, how do I become the best player? I say, well, you don't need that answer from me. That's already written in stone. You know, you can look at any sport. This guy played 18 years. This guy played 20 years. This guy played. You just need to play long enough for somebody to write a story. You know, because if you only play 2 years or if you only play 5 years, that's not going to be long enough time to write a story. So let's just play long enough and have longevity and be consistent and then let the numbers speak for themselves.
Were you surprised not to be asked back at Miami?
I was a little bit surprised, because, you know, even when if you go back to my interviews at the very beginning, I said, you know, it's a learning process for me. It would take some time, but, you know, unfortunately it didn't happen that way. I'm happy where I am. I'm glad I'm back at home. This is where I really want to be anyway. So, you know, it was a great experience that Jeffrey, you know, Don, the guys were really great. The coaching staff was wonderful. Had a great relationship with them. And, you know, it was really good for me to go on a different side of the fence as trying to be more approachable, more outgoing, more accessible than as a player.
Would you like to get back on the field, back in uniform?
Not anymore. I'd rather be here in San Francisco where what I'm at. I've earned the right to where I'm at in my professional career, and I don't see myself doing anything other than that. I've worked very hard for the 22 years of my career to do what I did throughout baseball, and I'm here to do the same thing as my godfather has done and to coach this next generation for whatever the San Francisco Giants want me to do for the generations to come in my community. And that's what I want to do, help the guys throughout our organization and nurture and give them all the knowledge I can give them to be San Francisco Giants baseball players and create championships here in San Francisco.
On Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, we're talking with Barry Bonds. What's a typical day like for you now?
get up in the morning at 6:30, go ride my bike for about 40 miles, come back, walk my dogs outside, make phone calls, go to the ballpark. I do the same thing everyone does, you know, go to lunch with my kids, go to lunch with other people throughout the community if there's any charity things that I go to and do for kids and stuff here and, with my foundation that I do. And, you know, I also have every month I have kids that come out, special need kids that come out to the ballpark and they go in the field and get to watch batting practice and stuff. So I do things with that. And you know, anything that I need to do in San Francisco is what I do.
And you ride 40 miles every day on your bike?
Pretty much. Today was only 36, so only 30.
And what kind of dogs do we have?
I have a little Yorkie and a miniature Schnauzer.
And what are their names?
My Yorkie's name is Magic, and my Schnauzer's name Apollo.
That's great. What do people say when they see you?
Here in San Francisco?
Wherever you go.
Well, when I go to different city, it's, oh, wow, Barry Bonds, you know, because I don't live there. But in San Francisco, you got to remember, you know, I've been here since I was a child. So most of the people, you know, oh, that's Barry. You know, we went to high school together or, you know, the chief of police now and I went to different schools or, you know what I mean? We've all that whole full circle here in the town. And it's really good because, you know, a lot of people that I grew up with are really successful now in their own right. And it's great to see us get together and talk about what it was like growing up and going to Sarah and all the bus trips we took and all the, you know, just rehashing all the old good memories. And then now look at us. We're all, you know, where we thought we would never be because none of us were really good in school.
Now it comes out.
Yeah, look at us now. You know, for a bunch of guys that really didn't think they would do anything.
It's been 25 years since you left Pittsburgh and you signed as a free agent in San Francisco. I can remember how shocked I was when that happened because, as you know, at that time the Giants were not a free agent destination. And I've always wanted to ask you, did anybody ever finish second to the Giants, or were you just determined to go home and play where your dad and your godfather Willie Mays did?
No, you mean on the process of my free agency?
Yeah, when you were free agent after Pittsburgh, was there a second-place team or not really? You were going home, and that was it.
There was a first-place team at the beginning. It was the Yankees. The Yankees were the one that put their foot forward first at the very beginning and was the team at the time. But during the conversation, I was just sitting there when they were talking with my agent and they got on the phone and they just told me I had to sign the contract by like 2 o'clock that day. And that just didn't really make sense to me. And then the Giants came, called me up, like around, I don't know, maybe later on that day or something and said, Barry, you know, we want to talk to you about coming back home. We want Dusty Baker to be the manager. We're talking about your father being hitting coach. Willie Mays coming back and, you know, bringing the whole family back together. And when they said that, there was just no question where I was going.
But can you – baseball fans can't imagine what you would have been like in Yankee Stadium with that swing.
I don't know. I mean, we can foresee whatever, but my swing was pretty good in San Francisco.
Yes, it was. At age 43 in 2007, you go out, you hit 276, 28 home runs, but they don't resign you. Were there any other clubs that were interested, and did you think you were finished?
I was not finished. That's a, you know, kind of like I say, that's a pretty much a sore spot in my heart because I wish I did have the opportunity to play another year. I felt I played well enough to do that. Unfortunately, this didn't work out, but I'm not mad about my career. I'm fine with my career. I left it out on the field. I gave everything I had, and you know, I just wish I could have, things could have just been a little bit different on the way that it exited, but you know, life goes on. I'm okay with it now. I've moved on, and there's really not much more that you can really talk about it. It's over with. It's been years now, and you can't change it.
Let me get to some contemporary issues before you go. How has the game changed to you? We hear all the time, Bear, that the game has changed. How has it changed to you?
I kind of like this generation in some aspect, because when I was playing, you know, there was this always this protocol on how the game's supposed to be played. And my perception is that hit the ball, run the bases, have fun, do what you want to do. Who really cares? No, there's no real dictation on how this game's played. Everybody knows it's strike one, strike two, one out, one inning, all the way to nine. I like this generation. The guys get to really express themselves. I mean, like I said, it was good when I was in Miami at the time to really actually see it, how, you know, guy hits a home run, he has a lot more fun. The guys jump around together. They do things a little bit different, and no one says anything. In my generation, you did all those things. They used to call you a hot dog, think you're cocky or whatnot or this. And, you know, I like the way that the guys get to really express themselves a little bit, and no one really gets offended by it. They, you know, the guys have big beards. Some have shaved. Some don't. Some have tattoos all over the place. They, you know, they who they are is their own men, and that's, you know, that's, I like that, just because, you know, they're grown men. They should be able to be whoever they want to be, and they should be able to express themselves the way that they express themselves. Everybody sees things a little bit different. Nothing's really ever personal. You know, at that time, we're 3 hours in a battle. Things can happen, but, you know, I don't see the people taking a lot of that personal as it did in my generation. That's the one part that I see has changed that I really like. And but other than that, the game's the same. Strike one, strike two, guys. I think they emphasize more on home runs. I wish that, you know, a lot of guys were more better contact hitters, because in my generation, you know, hitting 300 was really important. Not striking out over 100 times is really important. And, you know, seeing pitchers go 7-8 innings, 9 innings at a time was a little bit different than now. You see guys that go 4 innings or 3 innings. They switch pitchers a lot. They're so concerned about pitch counts that we weren't concerned about back then. So those are the only little things that's changed, but, you know, it's fine with me.
And you just touched on a bunch of stuff I was going to ask you about, where the bunt has gone, where the hit and run has gone, where putting runners in motion has gone, and you just talked about strikeouts. You never struck out, as you just said. You never struck out 100 times in a season. And in 2005, the average strikeouts per game was 12.6. This season, it's 16.5. And there seems to be an acceptance, Barry, of it by management. Do you agree with that? And I'm assuming here that you did not accept the strikeout as a hitting coach.
Well, my dad emphasized a lot on that. You know, my dad was always, be a good hitter. You know, I had people like Tony Gwynn talking to me all the time. I've had, you know, players like Ozzie Smith and Mike Schmidt and you know, Rod Carew in the day always talked, and it was always, you know, be a good hitter and allow the fence to come into play, not let the fence come into play and be a bad hitter. And, you know, that was something I took to heart, that hitting, trying to hit 300 and being a good contact hitter. All these guys can hit home runs. If you're in the big leagues, you can hit home runs. That's not hard to do. Being a good hitter is just, to me, your results will be a lot better.
And everything is deep counts right now. And you experienced that last year. Everything is 2-2, 3-2.
Well, you got a lot of power pitchers in the game. You know, like, that part of the game has changed as well. But, you know, before, you had maybe one power pitcher in the starting rotation, maybe two maximum. But nowadays you have 1 through 5 middle reliever and closer that all throw 100 miles an hour. So it doesn't change much. I mean, the guys, they're all power pitchers, and power pitchers sometimes have a tendency to have more pitches than some of the other guys. You know, either power pitchers are going to have a no-hitter real quick because that's who they are, or, you know, they, if they're not consistent around the plate, they're going to have a lot of pitches early. And a lot of you can get into the middle reliever now, and he still throws 96 miles an hour. So there's no really depth of changing throughout pitching. When we played, the hard thrower was probably the closer. He's going to throw, you had the Rob Dibbles and them that threw 100 miles an hour and stuff like that. And, they were always the closers. Or you might have a setup man that's going to throw 95 or something like that, but everybody else was consistently around 90, 91. They could get to 93, and threw, more off-speed pitches or whatnot because they were more finesse guys. Nowadays, everyone throws super hard, and there's, the hitters are going to catch up to that because there's no depth of adapting to anything. If you're seeing everyone that throws 95 miles an hour, the adjustments aren't going to be that difficult.
The average length of game this season is back up over 3 hours, 3 hours and 4 minutes. Do you, when you're at the ballpark with clients at AT&T Park or you're watching a game on TV, Barry, do you think the games are too long?
I don't think the games are too long. I think the games are only long just because you change pitchers a lot. The pitchers go longer, the game goes faster. When you have to make those changes a lot, that changes the time. So if you're going to throw four or five pitchers out in the game, that's going to extend the game. So if you go back and look at the early part of in my careers, and before you had guys that went seven innings, we used to call the guys that went five innings five and die.
Exactly right, five and fly.
Nowadays it doesn't really matter. So if you're going to change three or four pitchers throughout a game, then that's going to extend the length of the baseball game. And that's what's going on. But I don't really see it being a problem with me only when you they do these matchups all the time with this matchup to that matchup. And that just takes a lot of time. And that's what extends the game. I don't think it's the players. I think it's just the computer boards that are telling everyone that this matchup needs to be with this matchup, or this guy goes with this guy because he's not hitting this. And, so there's an extra 3 or 4 minutes. And by the time you get through five or six guys, you're into an hour.
If you were the baseball god and you had the power to do so, is there anything you'd want to change in the game right now?
No, I think what Manfred does and with MLB is fantastic. I mean, the way that they promote the game now, it's phenomenal. We didn't have that back in when I was playing. Nowadays, it's like they do a lot of great commercial shoots with these guys. They promote this game really well. They get these guys involved. They get to, it's fun when you get to watch them, and you got, and you have your commissioner saying, go for it. Let's have fun with this. Let's do this. And, the guys are coming out with, different color shoes and different psychedelic colored gloves and, always keeping the interest into, for the kids and stuff. And I the home run derby thing that they do and how they promote it, the World Series, the way they promote it, the way they're actually balancing out all the teams now on TV and, giving the perspective whether you're a last place team to a first place team, you're really getting equal TV time. I like what they're doing now. I think it's really good. I think he's doing a great job.
Got to talk home runs with you. The number of home runs hit at least 450 feet, Barry, is up 31% from just 2 years ago. You have a theory about this?
Yeah, the ballparks are a lot smaller.
Yeah, true, but we've seen a tremendous increase.
I don't really care about the distance. I mean, I've had this conversation before. You don't get extra bases for hitting 400 feet. You get four bases. So once it goes over the fence to me, I can care less how far it goes after that. You don't get eight bases. You don't get to call a limo. You don't get a party for it. Just whatever the distance is of the fence, that's as far as you need to hit it. That's all you need to worry about. So, I mean, if the guys are hitting it that far, I haven't really been noticing it because I don't really care about that. I care about he's 3 for 3 with a home run, 2 RBIs, and we win the game.
But there has been a significant increase, as you know, in home runs hit, regardless of how far they've gone over the last couple of years. Do you have any feelings about why that is?
Every baseball team that has seven or eight players that throw 95 miles an hour of the ball, it's going to go further.
There's an old theory. There was a pitcher, Barry, once named Dwayne Henry, and somebody once tagged him with something called the Dwayne Henry theory. In at 90, out at 120.
Yeah. I mean, the guys that throw hard to me, that's easy to hit. The guys that were finesse pitchers for me were the hardest one because mechanically you got to be perfect. But you don't have to be perfect with a guy throwing 95 and above. All I got to do is touch it. If I touch it, it's going to go.
Do you sense the game is clean? Do you think that performance-enhancing drugs have had their day in baseball? Or do you think that with all of these home runs that perhaps they're again rearing their ugly head inside the game somehow?
I don't really know what they're doing with that part of the game. I don't really get involved with that part of the game. I'm not trying to avoid your question at all, for no means whatsoever. I just think it's a media conversation. It's always been a media conversation. I think baseball has handled it the best, and it's over with. And I think you guys need to kill it because it's a crazy conversation all the time.
Well, I don't think there's anybody in the world that wants to see these guys using. They want a clean game. They expect that. Otherwise, it's wrestling. It's not baseball.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Let me talk about the Hall of Fame. Did you have any issue with Bud Selig going into the Hall after being criticized for failing to combat the doping scourge and you not going in?
I have no problems with Bud Selig going into Hall of Fame. I think Bud Selig deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I also think, you know, it's a conversation with me that will come up eventually that I will talk about. But like I sat there and said, I'm glad that Bud Selig got in. I'm kind of like tired of the whole media conversation about it because this is a media conversation. This isn't a baseball conversation. Baseball made the rules. Everyone's abiding by the rules. Everybody played in the rules of baseball the way baseball was. Baseball never punished Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds never broke any rules in baseball. It's a press punishment and a public punishment. It's not a baseball punishment. It's just a press conversation. And that's what it's been. It's sad that it is. It's okay. It is what it is. And all of us need to just move on and live our lives and try and be as happy as we can be with it.
Do you sort of regard the press the way the president does?
No, I don't dislike the press. I did when I was playing. I learned to grow up and get over that. You know, I've made this comment before I was. You know, why are you saying nasty things about me? And I'm only human. I'm just a baseball player. I'm just trying to do the best I can. And why would there be anything negative about what I'm doing? You know, I took it to heart. I took it personal. It hurt my feelings. There's a whole lot of emotions there. And, you know, I also created some of that badness that went to it. And I take responsibility for that. But I also at the same time needed that negativity because it also helped me play better. It made me shut up the critics if I could, as you could say. But I was a different player, but I was just a baseball player. I wasn't, you know, I never talked bad about people. I didn't really do anything. All I did was try to entertain people on that baseball field and give my team a chance to win the best I could. And with all the God's gift ability that he gave me, you know, unfortunately, not everyone responds to the press the same. I didn't respond to the press in a good manner as some other players were able to. Does that make me a bad person? No, I just didn't respond to it. I took it to heart personally. That was something that I believe that was my fault. I could have done it a little bit different and been thought of differently, you know, and people would have seen me a little bit differently on the real. But like I say with the press thing, I had a conversation with another reporter. I said, when I come into my locker room and there's 30 of you guys in my locker room and I sit there and I say, you know, I have no comment and I don't want to really talk about it, and then you push the issue, who's invading whose space here? I understand the freedom of the press, but then you're not respecting me when I say, you know, at the beginning, no, thank you, I do not want to have this conversation. And then you keep pushing that issue. Who's really at fault here? I'm trying to be nice at the start, but then it ends up going, you know, I don't want to talk to you, goodbye, I walk away, or, you know, I may say something stupid. One hand has to be able to shake the other and have respect for the other person. And when you lose that kind of respect, I just realize that I don't have the power of the pen, and I don't have the power of people that could read something from somebody else, and it really looks bad on me when that does happen. And
but you've gotten nicer in your old age. The surliness is gone. As you said, you've grown up, and now things are different.
It's a lot different because I get to meet you at my own time. You know, when you're in the fishbowl, you know, I'm thrown into a bowl where, you know, everything's in front of me. Before I get into a locker room, before I get undressed, there's 30,000 questions thrown at me. And, you know, I could have not slept that day. I could have not done anything. And, you know, like I said, I take responsibility of that. I just didn't handle it right. I could have handled it better, and I just didn't. I was focused in performing. I was focused in playing the game. I did not want to waste energy talking to people about something that they absolutely know nothing about, half of them. And I could have just been a better person about it and said, you know what, whoever, Tim or yourself, Ed, you know what, if you just give me a few days or something, or we could talk tomorrow when I just have more time. I should have responded a little bit different than, you know what, I just got here. I haven't got undressed. Why are you got a microphone in my face? Mm-hmm. I should have been more polite about that. I didn't. But I'm only human. I'm not perfect. And like I say, some people respond to the press differently than others, but it doesn't make them a bad person. It doesn't give someone the right to write a story to give the public information about something that's really not true or not how it really happened. But you know what? I take it. I've been taking it for a lot of years. But like I tell a lot of people, I never started the conversation. I just came to work. The conversation came to me. I may have been in a bad mood. We may have lost some games. I didn't want to discuss it, things like that. But the conversation came to me, but Barry Bonds as a human being to another human being should have been a little bit more polite about how he said no.
I just want to go back to Hall of Fame for a moment, if you don't mind. I want to read something to you that one voter said about Bud Selig going into the Hall of Fame, and he said, this is one voter who voted this past January. He said, quote, to me, it would be hypocritical to put the commissioner of the steroid era and a manager who had connections with the steroid era in and leave out the greatest hitter and the greatest pitcher, Clemens, of that time. How do you react to that?
I think we just let time play itself out. I don't think we need to make judgments on what one person's opinion is. That's his opinion. Like I said, the freedom of the press, I just respond to it differently. That's his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and I'm okay with his opinion. Do I agree with his opinion? No, I do not agree with his opinion. But nowadays, do I respond differently to his opinion? Sure. I said, that's your opinion. God bless you. We all are human. And we're all going to be here in this world one day. We're all going to be gone, and we can just move on. And it doesn't really affect my life, what's going on in my life. My kids are healthy. I'm healthy. My family's doing really well, you know, so it doesn't really affect me. Before, if I was playing, I'd be like, I can't believe he said it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But you're talking to a person who's, you know, in a cage getting ready to become a gladiator for 3 hours. You know, I'm coming to get my game face on. You know what I mean? I'm coming here to perform for my fans in my city, and you're asking me a question. I'm like, you got to be out your goddamn mind, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, now, you know, come on, man. I'm 53 years old next month. I don't have time for this crud. I'm like my mom. I tell my mom, I said, Mom, I'm halfway to 100 now. You can't be punishing me anymore.
But the election of the former commissioner, Barry, is helping elevate the vote total for you and for Clemens.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really do appreciate it. You know, like I tell my children, anything good happens to you, it's never too late.
Well, and to that point, when the Baseball Writers Association of America eliminated some older, inactive members from Hall of Fame voting 2 summers ago, they were replaced by younger voters who were not around at the time in which you played and appear to be more lenient in how they view players like yourself. In other words, there appears to be a shift away from the punitive approach to guys like you and Clemens and others. Do you sense that? Time's marching on.
I know you keep sticking the question because you guys are really talented at what you do, and we're just running around in a circle about it. It's okay, because like I say, I'm a little bit better at it than I was before. I'm trying to be as kind as I can be about it, and as genuine and as honest, open as I can be about it. What are they holding us back from? That's the big question. I went to court. I won. I prevailed. Major League Baseball never punished Barry Bonds for anything, ever. Nothing. Major League Baseball is not punishing me. Not at all. Major League Baseball never punished Barry Bonds for anything. So we have to talk about what is really going on. I don't. The answer is in your guys' hands. It's not in ours. La Russa deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Jim Leland deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. There's people that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. There's no question or no doubt about it. What are we arguing about? What are we feeding the public about? Are we really feeding them the truth? Are we feeding them accusations? Are we feeding them hearsay? I don't know. I don't write the stories. I don't give them the perception, and I don't do that. So I'm just, like I said, I'm trying to be as open, as honest as I can be about it, and being, you know, without confrontation, without you really thinking I'm upset about this, which I'm not. I'm just really trying to truly answer your question the best I can. But we have to you have to be honest about your question. What are they doing for? Is it a perception? Is it of they think? Or is it of true knowledge of the doubt? I don't know. I don't make that decision. Like I say, we don't make the decision. They have to make that decision. And whenever they decide to make that decision, will be the decision. It's either going to be yes, we're there, or no, we're not, and that's going to be the final decision when that time comes. So it's either going to run out of time and the decision's going to be no, or the decision's going to be yes in time. We don't know that answer. You guys have to ask your own self that answer.
And as a kid having grown up in the game, the son of a gifted father who brought so much to the game of baseball, you know from the time that you were a little kid that the reality, Barry, is that just about everyone who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame gets in. Maybe not at the right pace, maybe not at the correct time, but they get in.
I never know. Whatever time you get in the Hall of Fame, there's a status about it. I think if you're in, you're in. If you're whatever time you get in, I don't know anywhere in the Hall of Fame it says, well, so-and-so got in the Hall of Fame on his third year or eighth year, and that really mattered. I don't really think it really matters. I think it's an actual conversation piece that, once again, we don't write the papers. We don't give the perception to the public. That's not our responsibility. That's not really should be our concern. And if that's the way that it keeps it going, or it keeps the conversation piece going, then God bless you. Keep the conversation piece going. I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings. It doesn't bother me at all. It's sad at times, sure. It, you know, that part does hurt a little bit, like, why are we still talking about the same thing over and over again? But if that's what you guys want to do, that's okay with me. I live my life the way I'm going to live it anyway, regardless of what your opinion is. I'm going to live my life the way I want. I can't be anyone else but me. And if you're looking for this huge, huge person to not be Barry Bonds, I'm not the person. I'm Barry Bonds. That's who I am. And I'm not going to change who I am, because that's all I can be. I can try and be a better Barry Bonds, but that's all I can do. And, you know, if you guys want to accept that and see me for as a human being, as a person, then fine. If you want to see me as some monster, then, I mean, that's fine too. The people that are around me that see me every day know that I'm not. So, you know, if that's a small group that I have in life, then, hey, it's better than having nobody.
I have had more than one talent evaluator in the game say to me, that you are one of the top five players ever. Forget the home runs, single-season home runs, career home runs, 8 gold gloves, the only player ever with 500 home runs and 500 stolen bases. Where do you think you stack up?
Everyone who played against me, everyone who's played with me know where I stack up. As far as the conversation piece goes, we leave that conversation for you guys. But the numbers are what they are. The talent is what it is. I don't want to be, if I was playing baseball, I'd probably say something different. Now that I'm out of baseball and I've had years of thinking about this, I know where I stand. I know exactly where I stand in this game of baseball. I know exactly the numbers I put up. I know exactly how hard I work. I know exactly what I did on that baseball field. I know where I compare to players before me and after me. I know exactly where I stand. What the conversation piece is, that's up to you guys to determine where you feel I stand. If you feel I stand 10th, if you feel I stand 100th, if you feel I stand 1,000th, that's okay with me.
Barry, thanks for being a man of your word. That'll do it for Barry Bonds and myself on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.